From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on June 17th, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. On this episode of The Lead, we look at some comments made by Senator Tim Scott about being on the shortlist as a potential running mate for former President Donald Trump, and a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling allowing bump stocks. We look at who is up to what this week, from the governor's office down to the legislature. Just kidding. The legislature is not coming back this week due to a budget stalemate. We hear from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell about interest rates and inflation. And we got a little report from Scott Morgan. The Lead loves hearing from everybody. That's why we have a voicemail box set up at 803-563-7169. We want to hear your hot takes. Are burgers sandwiches? Are hot dogs burgers? Or are they also tacos? Because apparently those are all sandwiches I just listed, allegedly. This is the Midwest. That's their fault. 803-563-7169. We can only offer you so many answers, but if you have questions, we need to know them. We need to know your questions. The State House will not gavel back in this week to take up the budget.
Why?
Because the budget's not finished and there's no agreement on the final budget between the House and the Senate. There is a bit of an impasse at the moment, so stay tuned. And of course, new fiscal year starts July 1st. There is a continuing resolution in place if there's not an agreement by then, but all eyes on the conference committee. Now let's look at the governor's schedule.
Okay.
On Tuesday at 11:30, Governor Henry McMaster will participate in the meeting of the Santee Cooper Advisory Board. That afternoon, he will oversee a state fiscal accountability authority meeting. On Wednesday morning, the governor and First Lady Peggy McMaster will attend the memorial service for SLED K-9 COBA at the South Carolina Criminal Justice Academy for his funeral. Now, this is a police officer dog, COBA, who was recently killed when Newberry County Sheriff's deputies and SLED officers were serving a warrant. James Robert Peterson, who shot COBA, was also shot by a deputy and was arrested along with his mother. Going to Thursday for the governor's schedule, McMaster will participate in the South Carolina Preservation Awards ceremony at the State House, and on Friday, the governor will attend the grand opening of the BMW press shop at BMW up in Greer. Now, up to Congress. Congress is in session this week and observes a Juneteenth federal holiday on June 19th. Sunday shows, we got a little information here from the Sunday shows. That's right, Senator Tim Scott was on ABC News' This Week with Jonathan Carl on Sunday morning. Scott, whose name is still in the mix for potential running mates with former President Donald Trump, faced several questions that he didn't quite answer. Take a listen here to Scott responding to the U.S. Supreme Court overturning the Trump-era decision to outlaw bump stocks.
You know, John, it's simply this. We trust and believe and respect the decision of the Supreme Court. What we need to focus on, John, is the violence that we're seeing across this nation. Under Joe Biden, we've seen the greatest increase in violent crime in my lifetime. And so focusing on ways for us to reduce that crime means getting four more years of Donald Trump. Under Donald Trump, we actually respected law enforcement. Under Joe Biden, we've seen the movement to defund the police, leaving communities like the one I grew up in devastated and ravaged by a wave of violent crime that we have not seen literally in five decades.
Actually, Senator, as you probably know, the latest stats on violent crime and on the murder rate, they're actually down this past year. But let me get back to my question about the Supreme Court's decision.
Well, let's take a look at those crime rates. We've seen over 4,000 shootings just in the city of Chicago. We've seen a spike in violent crime. It's nice to see something plateau, but the fact of the matter is simple. Under Joe Biden, neighborhoods like the ones I grew up in have never been ravaged.
But
one that raised me are trapped in their houses from the time the sun goes down until it comes up again.
So to my question, though, on bump stocks, would you now favor a Congress acting to ban bump stocks? You had said after that shooting in Las Vegas that if the vote came up, it would sail through Congress. So are you in favor of that ban right now?
Well, I'm strongly in support of the Second Amendment, but what we're going to do in the party... And
I asked about the ban on bump stocks, not the Second Amendment.
We're going to focus on the priorities of the American people. And what the priorities of the American people are today is to focus on closing our southern border. Under Donald Trump, we had a precipitous drop in illegal border crossings. Under Donald Trump, under Joe Biden, we've seen an explosion. 10 million illegal immigrants have invaded our country, leading to migrant crime that we just saw just yesterday.
Okay.
Mother of five killed by an illegal immigrant. So what the focus will be is on the safety of the American people. That starts with focusing on our southern border.
Okay, so you're not going to answer that question. Let me get to Donald Trump's visit to Capitol Hill. I want to ask you about a few of the policies he spoke at in the meeting with the House Republicans and with the Senate Republicans. During the meeting with House Republicans, he declared that he, quote, loves tariffs. I'm just wondering, do you? I know you've been a free trader for as long as I've known you. Do you love tariffs now?
Well, listen, one of the things that we have to do is recognize that we should focus on free trade, but free trade requires a fair competition. When you have China literally lying, cheating, and stealing our intellectual property, yes, tariffs create headwinds that actually levels the playing field. But more importantly, what we need is a president who understands how to fix our broken economy today.
In regards to what Scott called a broken economy, well, we'll hear shortly from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell about just how strong the economy is, so strong that it's preventing them from lowering interest rates as we continue to fight inflation. Stick with Scott. He was also on Fox News' Hannity, hosted by Kayleigh McEnany, on June 14th, and he reacted to this clip of Democratic Congressman Jim Clyburn, who said the following on Politico's Deep Dive podcast about black voters.
I think Joe Biden is doing exactly what he needs to do to win re-election. I think the polling is taking place. Something that's amiss with the polling. I don't know what's happening here, but I do know this. Anybody who believes that Donald Trump will get 30% of the black male vote or 12% of the black female vote, I got a bridge down there on John's Island, and I'll sell you.
What do you make of that?
Well, that bridge leads to Kiowa Island, one of the greatest tourist destinations in all of the country. I might buy that bridge, number one. Number two, I take that bet. I will take that bet. I can tell you, Donald Trump can exceed 30% of the black male vote in America.
Wow.
Two big reasons why. Number one, jobs. Number two, justice. Let's dive into the numbers on the jobs reports under Donald Trump. The lowest average workers in America, their wages went up faster than the guys at the top.
Senator Scott recently launched a $14 million campaign targeting minority voters in seven key swing states. The Associated Press reports that the new campaign will be run by Scott's Great Opportunity PAC, which was formed after he suspended his campaign for the Republican nomination last year. Aides say that the group will work to win over more than 1 million potential voters it has identified in Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. Those are the seven important states, the only states some would say that matter. So when people ask me, oh, it's going to be so busy in South Carolina this year, I say, no, we are not Georgia. We're not North Carolina. Everywhere else around us, not us. Now, the AP continues that the campaign will include canvassing, digital advertising, direct mail, events and appearances by Scott and other elected officials in minority communities that Scott said Republicans have too often avoided. Many black and Hispanic adults are indeed dissatisfied with Biden's performance as president. According to surveys by the AP and NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, Biden's approval rating among black adults has dropped from 94% when he took office to 55% in March. Among Hispanic adults, it has dropped from 70% to 32% over the same period, so some big warning lights there for Biden. But a February AP NORC poll found that only about one quarter of black adults had a favorable view of Trump, which could make it harder for him to capitalize on Biden's shortcomings. Hispanics are more evenly split, with about half, 52%, having an unfavorable view of both presumptive nominees. If we're talking about the 2024 election, folks, seven key states and people really not liking either of the nominees. Yeah. That's right. We'll see you in November. Also, a little tidbit, former Governor Nikki Haley announced on Father's Day that her father, Ajit Singh Randhawa, had died. Randhawa immigrated to the United States from India and was a professor at Voorhees University in Denmark, South Carolina. While cause of death was not disclosed in her social media post, her father had been battling cancer. So our thoughts and prayers there. Now in economic news, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said last week that interest rates would be holding steady as the Federal Open Market Committee opted once again not to lower rates amid still very strong economic data and incremental slowing of inflation.
The labor market has come into better balance with continued strong job gains and a low unemployment rate. Inflation has eased substantially from a peak of 7% to 2.7%, but is still too high. We are strongly committed to returning inflation to our 2% goal in support of a strong economy that benefits everyone. Today, the FOMC decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings. We are maintaining our restrictive stance of monetary policy in order to keep demand in line with supply and reduce inflationary pressures. Recent indicators suggest that economic activity has continued to expand at a solid pace. Although GDP growth moderated from 3.4% in the fourth quarter of last year to 1.3% in the first quarter, private domestic final purchases, which excludes inventory investment, government spending, and net exports, and usually sends a clearer signal on underlying demand, grew at 2.8% in the first quarter, nearly as strong as the second half of 2023. Growth of consumer spending has slowed from last year's robust pace, but remains solid.
Here's Powell talking about the new inflation data that came out last week as well.
The consumer price index, which came out this morning and tends to run higher than the PCE price index, rose 3.3% over the 12 months ending in May, and the core CPI rose 3.4%. The inflation data received earlier this year were higher than expected, though more recent monthly readings have eased somewhat. Longer-term inflation expectations appear to remain well anchored, as reflected in a broad range of surveys of households and businesses and forecasters, as well as measures from financial markets. The median projection in the SEP for total PCE inflation is 2.6% this year, 2.3% next year, and 2.0% in 2026. My colleagues and I are acutely aware that high inflation imposes significant hardship as it erodes purchasing power, especially for those least able to meet the higher costs of essentials like food, housing, and transportation. As labor market tightness has eased and inflation has declined over the past year, the risks to achieving our employment and inflation goals have moved toward better balance. The economic outlook is uncertain, however, and we remain highly attentive to inflation risks. We've stated that we do not expect it will be appropriate to reduce the target range for the federal funds rate until we have gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. So far this year, the data have not given us that greater confidence. The most recent inflation readings have been more favorable than earlier in the year, however, and there has been modest further progress toward our inflation objective. We'll need to see more good data to bolster our confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. We know that reducing policy restraint too soon or too much could result in a reversal of the progress that we've seen on inflation. At the same time, reducing policy restraint too late or too little could unduly weaken economic activity and employment.
So you just heard Fed Chair Powell there talking about the tightrope they're walking with the Fed's policy benchmark rate sticking right around 5.25 to 5.5% as inflation continues to trickle down. And to round out our podcast, Scott Morgan with South Carolina Public Radio has this report on food insecurity in our state.
Story time. This is the Marion Wright Edelman Public Library, a.k.a. the Marlborough County Library's Bennettsville branch, on a Wednesday morning in mid-June. Believe it or not, this is actually the quiet part of what will evolve into a summer fun science party full of small children floating beach balls over a leaf blower and trying to catch toilet paper while somehow learning about the much maligned, very scary, and ultimately harmless Joro spider, among other things. It all certainly blows away the myth of libraries being quiet. Then again, Marion Wright Edelman is not trying to be a quiet place for kids. It's trying to help them.
Yes, so there's a lot of insecurities. We're the highest unemployment in South Carolina. So there are a lot of children that are hungry.
Kim Thurman isn't entirely incorrect. Marlborough County usually has the state's highest unemployment rate, although some months it swaps first and second places with Allendale County. The rest of what she said is spot on, though. There is a lot of economic insecurity here. One in four people in Marlborough County were living in poverty just last year, according to census figures, and median household income was half the statewide average. And then there's the reason Thurman is here, with several small children in tow from a nearby daycare center where she works. The children are hungry. Bobby Grooms, director of the Marlborough County Library System.
We haven't been able to do this in about 4 years, and so in years past, we actually fed on site here in the library.
Fun Storytime Wednesday coincides with the library's summer reading and summer feeding programs, the latter of which is making a return this year for the first time since COVID. Thanks to an initiative by the state library system and a sponsorship from the Performing Arts and Science Academy in Marion, the library was able to resurrect its summer lunch program Monday through Thursday until July 24th as a way to augment summer meals provided by the Marlborough County School District. Now, breakfast and lunch are being provided for students at county school buildings in June, but June meals don't last through July, and summer transportation to school buildings, now that the buses are not running, can make getting some kids to sites more difficult. So it's a welcome return for the library's lunch program and an expanded version of what used to be before the pandemic. And if you need an idea how important these meals have been for hungry kids, here.
One of the kids left this picture and it had a superhero on it and it said, you know, without you, I'd starve.
It's tempting to think that if these library workers were the superheroes of this story, the world outside could very well be the supervillain. In truth, life is hard for these kids because it's hard for their parents. Kim Thurman.
Some of them come from homes that are broken. Their parents are struggling to make ends meet. Both parents have jobs, but it's still hard for them to be able to afford daycare as well.
Daycare, or rather lack thereof, is a major contributing factor to hunger in children. A five-city study published in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics last June found that children from low-income families were significantly less likely to be sick or hungry or go to the hospital if they were part of a daycare program that provided meals. Now, there are, of course, daycare providers in Marlborough County, but that doesn't necessarily translate into affordability or access. Daycare centers all over the country have long wait lists, and they're all expensive. Data from the U.S. Department of Labor showed that in 2023, costs for infant and toddler-based daycare in Marlborough County demanded, on average, 15% of household income, the second highest share, behind Allendale County, of income spent on daycare in the state. And we haven't even gotten to the data on food insecurity among children in Marlborough County. Mike Darrow is the executive director of Feeding the Carolinas.
Marlborough County has the highest rate of food insecurity in the state. 18.5%.
Which still isn't the rate of child food insecurity in the county. 18.5% is the overall rate. The rate for children in 2022, according to Feeding the Carolinas, was 31.9%, meaning one child in every three in Marlborough County is not guaranteed a next meal. Darrow says this is evident in the spikes in visits to food banks since COVID, and costs to meet increasing demand are dwarfing pandemic-era numbers.
It's dramatic. When the pandemic hit, the average food bank, their food purchase budget was around $100,000, give or take. It immediately went up to $1 million during the pandemic because we had to get food. It has floated around that 10 times still.
That's per month, by the way. And Darrow says it's the result of a nasty combination of just so many things putting pressure on households and in turn on food banks and food programs trying to fill the meal gaps. Back at Marion Wright Edelman Library, bags of sandwiches, fruit, and milk await the children coming from the back room where science has held their little eyes and ears in rapt attention for the better part of the last hour. Alyssa Jacobs, a stay-at-home mom who sat in on the science day, has her two small daughters with her. She likes coming to these Wednesday learning days with them because it gets the kids out of the house and it keeps their brains engaged with learning. But she's also here to get them some lunch.
For them to be able to get a meal, a good meal, and instill in the community, I think that's very helpful. I really think that's a great thing for us.
Jacobs gets a lot of help from her parents and in-laws. A lot of other parents, though, are here by themselves. Most grab a lunch and head out the door. A few days before the summer feeding program started, Bobby Grooms told me about all the logistics that come with something like this. Food deliveries from Marion, separate refrigerators to store things in, rotating shifts that make staffing the library on these lunch days as much of an adventure as anything on these shelves. But she says it's worth it, all of it, to be able to help a community where need is so great, and on the off chance that maybe, somewhere, some kid won't starve because there are superheroes watching over them.
Thank you, Scott. You can find that report and so much more at southcarolinapublicradio.org. And while you're there, hit that donate button, folks. We are in pledge for the next 2 weeks, so get used to it. Hit the pledge donate button. Call 1-800-256-8535 and shorten that pledge drive for us. Give us a shout. Give us the pennies. We love it. Welcome to the wind-down section, our little break from the news, a teeny tiny small little break that A.T. Shire is joining us for, producer of the podcast.
Oh, I've deigned to join this tiny little break. Yes. Ooh, a deign, that's a word you would hate.
Well,
you would hate that
word. I don't actually know what
it's,
that means.
It's very close to yeoman, sort
of.
Oh,
I hate yeoman. Oh, that's yeoman's work. He does the yeoman's work. I do love the Danes, the people, the
that's
Danish
not,
people.
It's D-E-I.
I, oh,
G-N.
Easy, brother.
G-N.
Easy. Wow.
G-N.
We might have to bleep that. I want to keep my job here, buddy. Whoa, folks. I'm gonna stop you right there because you're going to do something to my people. You don't do that to these
people.
Let's
get back to the top. Hey, let's start at the
but
top.
But the Danish people.
Yeah, the Danish people great. Don't deserve that. I love the Scandinavians.
I love the skin, the features, the blonde hair, the cookies.
The minimalism. The outside, inside, inside,
is there
outside.
Sugar in this cookie?
The meatballs.
Mid-century modern.
The meatballs.
Mid-century modern.
IKEA. Anyway, Gavin, well, thank you for having me on the show, and hopefully this isn't my last episode because I said the wrong three letters.
Oh,
anyway, Gavin, we got a call. Are you ready? Are you ready for the call?
I'm too. The chilling effect is real right now, so I'm just gonna say
Gavin's flop sweat. He's in a flop sweat.
I know a three letter word that I can say safely. Y-E-S.
Okay, where are you? Y-E-S. Ready for this? Okay, yes. Here we go, Gavin. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Gavin. Hi, AC. Since you were so kind as to grace me with my own nickname, this is Sniggler Christine calling back. I needed to call you with my own personal Sniggler. We found out recently that our dog thinks that danger noodles are, in fact, the best toy on earth. And if you think that this story, you've seen nothing until you've seen a snake being whipped around in the mouth of a dog, like that snake owes him money. On another note, I was so excited to hear Election Commission Director Howard Knapp on. I've worked as a poll manager, which is a poll worker, since 2020, and I just want to totally suggest to anybody who's interested, sign up, get trained, come work on the polls. They are so much fun. It's easy. And you get to hear all of the local gossip because you're sitting around all day and everybody's got something, a story to tell. And the only advice I have for AC this week is bring your adorable baby to the polls. We love seeing them, especially when it's not a presidential election. It's kind of boring to see, so we are having our days made when we see cute babies being brought to the polls. Thank you. Also, hot take, sandwiches don't exist. They're just American pie. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Snake Alert Christine. I love hearing about your work with the polls. We love poll workers. We support the poll workers, our frontline folks right out there. You know, they're on the front lines working all day, 12 hours a day there,
seven to seven. Monster shifts, yeah.
Probably people yelling at them like, oh, God, I know that. It's like, you know, and I love, I think we talked about it on the Election Night show for everyone that watched, everyone listening better watch the show. About, you know, everyone wants to, why is it taking so long to get the results? It's like, well, you all wanted like hand counted paper ballots.
Yeah.
And now you want immediate results. Mm-hmm. You got to pick one.
It's one or the other.
You cannot have both.
It's not both.
And I will tell you, if we were still counting the ballots from like the last presidential election, we'd probably just finish up by now because there are a lot of ballots cast. You can't count everything in paper. We have the technology.
We're a growing state. Okay. It's going to be more and more ballots.
Scantron.
Paper.
Scantron.
Oh, you just feed it in the machine. You have to have a number two pen. pencil. Have you ever seen any other number pencil? Anyway, Christine, I'm sorry that you had your own snake alert in real life.
Yes,
very
terrifying.
Dangerous. Gavin, how was your weekend?
It was so good.
Oh, great. I'm so glad.
So I'm in this phase.
Yes.
I'm going through a phase.
Yes. You've waning noticed. Gibbous.
my favorite broom. It's a Harry Potter joke for my favorite.
No, it is a phase of the moon joke. It's a phase of the moon.
I'm in a moon phase.
Hey, Harry
How
Potter's
dare
stupid.
You.
Harry Potter's very dumb. Keep
That's
going.
Where the Instagram controls my life.
Yes, as a
millennial.
The truest millennial form is Gavin as he's just mainline in reels, doom scrolling.
Sending
for
to
hours.
My group, sending to my people, yes. You're receiving them, my brothers.
I
everyone.
Get them. And it's telling you how to live.
I am loving the algorithm telling me how to live. But speaking of that, like, I love to joke that, you know, the boomers have the Facebook misinformation. And then Gen Z, who we love to dunk on because they just dunk
TikTok.
On themselves.
TikTok.
They got the TikTok. I just heard on TikTok, it's like, no, do not set your hair on fire so it grows back stronger. Don't do that, folks. I just made that up off the top of my head, which has hair on it because I didn't burn my hair off because someone on TikTok told
me
to do it.
I've seen so many times people cleaning their toilets and they just make mustard gas over and over again.
Yes, always. All, do not mix the bleach and ammonia, folks.
Don't do it. It's mustard gas. But Gavin,
But the sun doesn't cause cancer. Yes, it doesn't help. I'll tell you that,
You
folks.
Have the perfect real place, Instagram.
I've been on the reels and the algorithm tells you, oh, you like these cocktail recipes? Here are more cocktail recipes. So I was talking to my buddy Garrett. So we were talking about making cocktails for the longest time. I got this frozen peach, hot peach, spicy frozen margarita recipe, right?
This is some hipster's
but it's
garbage.
It's good. You look at all your saved. I have all these frozen Paloma recipes saved. But you know,
I talk trash on it, but yes. I would also drink it. Drink it 10 times out of 10.
You're talking about doing this for weeks, and it's like, it's so easy. And it is easy, but you're like, oh, I just don't have the right peaches. But I've learned now that it just becomes peach puree. So you want to do maybe some frozen peaches or some fresh peaches. Max Pride, McB.
You want some variance in texture.
Get your South Carolina peaches in there. And then also put some ice in because otherwise it's just too much of a puree. Put some liquid in there.
Gavin's,
it was good.
You're here for a good slop.
I will tell you when I had it, I felt like I was on a cruise ship.
And
the Carnival Sunshine was in my living room.
You've been in Europe. So
I've been in Europe. I've never been on a cruise ship. I
can
assume.
You can say this.
And so that was Friday. That was on Friday.
Yeah, TGI.
Maybe it was Saturday. So then on Sunday, it happened again. We got this recipe, you know. Doing different things with different things to create different things, right? It's all about different things.
I hate it.
I'm telling you, cottage cheese plus egg. I say egg. Just embrace how I say it, people. You take a half cup of cottage cheese, two eggs.
Disgusting.
You blend it. You make it happy.
Yeah.
And then you put it in the oven. You spread it on a baking sheet, parchment paper. Mm-hmm. Put it in the oven for 35 minutes, 350. And you get a flatbread.
Mm.
And I was hesitant, like you. I said, there's no way that could be
cottage
good.
Cheese is a hard
you
no
think
for me.
I was just like UAT. You blend it smooth. And
lumpy
it's,
lumpy cheese.
You blend
slop.
It smooth.
There's a pattern here. There's a pattern here of lumpy
but
slop.
You know, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm a slop guy.
But you spread it out. Maybe we did a little too thin. I would say do the. Did I say half
Many
cup?
Many people are saying thin.
I'd say 16 ounces. We did 8 ounces, do 16 ounces. That's a cup.
I'm pretty upset that you didn't cook this in the air fryer.
That would have been a disaster. But we're going to do some air fried feta balls soon. Anyway, I'm on the phone with my brother, Con.
Feta.
A feta.
That's how they say it, for real.
You've been to Greece? I've been to Greece, okay? It's
I have many Greek
feta.
Acquaintances.
Oh, the olive oil, the
feta,
bread.
Feta,
the bread.
Feta.
So I'm on the phone with Con, reminding him, by the way, Colin, have you called your father? Because it's Father's Day. This is my fraternal twin brother, Colin.
Yeah.
He's in Tejas. And of course, then I called Dad. I called Dad after because I hadn't called him yet. I'm 6 minutes in the phone call. And then he's like, oh, your brother's calling. I was like, you know, you take it because I talked to you too
That's
much.
That's a great way to get
Don't
off
tell
the phone.
Him I told him.
Oh, it's your brother. Okay, I'll hang up. No problem. Not a problem.
But he's like, your house is going to stink. You're doing this. And like, Colin does his pizza dough. He has a green thumb. He's grown all these vegetables and stuff. And I said, okay, I mean, we're going to give it a go. We did. Sure enough, that thing was perfect.
Does cooking make your house smell bad. Rarely.
Well, and it smelled like bread. That was a messed up part.
But it's not bread.
I can't believe it's not Brad.
Gavin was shaking the floppy, soggy corpse of this quote-unquote bread at me this morning, and I gotta say, it was foul.
I will say, I put like a bunch of, you can make it as a great like base for a pizza, you can make it as a wrap.
No, you know what's better for pizza? Pizza dough. Pizza dough is better.
You know me, I would make it too, but this was great, high protein, that's what it's for, it's all protein right there. Mm-hmm. No carbs, all protein. So, you can take it or leave it, I'll do it again.
I think
I buy the Greek yogurt.
It's probably a war crime. I don't know.
That's why you
go out to international waters to make this. But
all I'm saying is that I knocked off two recipes. That's like watching shows that your friends tell you.
Very
you
millennial
watch.
Of you.
And
knocking
it's a
off
burden.
Two,
thank you.
Two Instagram recipes that you actually followed through on.
So now I can talk about it. That's the whole point of doing
that. That is climbing an absolute millennial mountain. Okay.
Oh, I don't know if I could do it. I don't have all the things. You don't
but
have eggs
you've,
and cottage cheese?
You've now tumbled back down to that mountain to roll the boulder back up. Very Sisyphusian of
That's
you,
my
Gavin.
My entire life.
So if anyone is listening and
Tell
you
us
have
your Instagram recipes
a
that you've
foul,
done,
non-recipe that you make foods that aren't that food out of other foods, let us know. Please call. It's all gross. But I'm glad that you're cooking, Gavin. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really it. I'm glad you're cooking. I'm glad that. This wasn't air fried, but I'm glad that you're air frying.
Okay? I'll have an air fry update for you later this week.
That's a promise. And just like the promise of this show, it's been fulfilled. Please, Gavin, release us from this servitude. Do the credits. Thank you very much.
Promises made, promises kept. That's right, folks. Thank you for listening to the pod. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. That's always free. You know what else is free? Give us a voicemail, 803-563-7169, just like Snake Alert Christine did. Thank you for calling. You can always stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast was produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Which it truly was just a generically yellow slop.
You could torture a person that way.